Instead of Paladin, we could call him Pilladin.
You have to work Tim Curry into it somewhere, though.
Your mom works Tim Curry into it.
Pilladin?
And heavy breathing.
That's your mom again.
If you can find some way to redo his name so that it involves pills, Tim Curry, and heavy breathing, you'll really have something there.
And a heavy typing.
Unlike
you
your
could
mom,
do worse.
Unlike your mom, who is just heavy all over. Your mom does everything heavy, including drinking.
Do you know what Marty McFly said when he saw your mom?
No.
Heavy.
Nice.
Great, Scott.
Well, it's also what the Beatles said.
Well, isn't that song Hard Day's Night about your mom?
I assume that
also
way.
Also 8 days a week?
Or I love you, she's so heavy.
She's not heavy, she's your mother. Oh wait, yeah, she is heavy.
Beatles references are almost as good as Spaceballs references.
I'm a bitch. I'm your lover. I'm real fat. I'm your mother. I want dinner. I want steak. I do not want complaints.
You've been drinking a bit, haven't you?
And now it's time for another Superhero Time. With your hosts, XV.
Shut up, Fort Max. I'm still talking.
Fort Max.
Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Hey, Mickey.
I told Fort Max's mom in the ass. That was great.
And Paladin.
Yeah, I figured with it.
Yes, it's superhero time. Again. I'm sorry. We'll give you
no,
a break
not.
Next week, though. So I have no funny nicknames for my people this week, but it's Hey Mickey.
Yep.
Paladin.
Hello.
And the smelly Texan, Fort Max.
You.
I'll take it. That's what your mom said. Because really, you couldn't see that coming, right? So, Paladin, we have things that happened this week?
Remarkably, yes.
Actually, we had things that happened like 12 hours after we finished recording last week's show.
It's a That's sign that the universe hates our show.
Like we need more of those.
And we'll get more of those, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so what's up first?
Our first real look at Kamen Rider Forze.
Rocket Punch.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, the costume does not grab me, but that giant rocket for an arm, I am totally on board with that.
I don't know. It seems like it's grasping too hard to be ridiculous.
I certainly hope so.
I'm not put off by the silliness of having a giant rocket strapped to his arm. I'm just put off by the fact how transparent it looks. Looks like they're trying to be stupid.
Well, you know, you can win if you dare to be stupid. Wait, I think I mixed that one.
Yeah, I think you mixed up a couple songs there.
But no, I mean, it's not like they even just put a rocket on the back of his elbow and he still has a regular arm in front of it. It's a whole rocket over his arm.
And plus, his head is a rocket.
Yeah, it's a little cartoony spaceship thing, which is a bit weird, but like I said, the costume wasn't really grabbing me anyway.
Well, and still, all will be forgiven if at some point in the series he launches his head like a rocket.
Instead of a rock?
Well, it's not like this is Goto.
The big
and
question in my mind is, what other power?
Forze, well, either Forze or the Monsters of the Week, I'm not sure which, it's powered by mysterious space energy.
What were you saying, Paladin?
I want to know what other weapons he's going to have besides Rocket Punch.
Maybe Crane Arm? Wait, we got that already.
Yeah.
No, I know. He'll have an actual crane for an arm, wheels and all.
No, like a bird crane.
No, the crane has to be the head. Remember Power Rangers Season 3?
Oh, you mean the movie?
Yeah, that too. Yeah, he needs to have a rocket on one arm and like a tank for another arm.
And caterpillars on legs?
Yeah, real caterpillars. But what would be the cutter wing? I guess it could be just a giant pair of scissors, but that seems a little unimaginative.
You can make it like a butter wing, as in butterflies.
And speaking of, what's up with his belt?
It looks awkward.
And huge.
Like, if he has to go to the bathroom really badly, it's going to take a long time to get that belt off, to get those pants down.
He probably has an emergency flap down there somewhere. I mean, that's how I would
do
it.
Well, part of the info...
What?
Part of the information we have about the show is that he'll be switching limbs at some point, and it looks like the belt is what contains all the switches.
Still, there had to be some more streamlined, elegant way to do this.
As it is, it looks like he's got the front of a Street Fighter II cabinet on his crotch.
Yeah. Or maybe an old Xbox controller.
It's not that big. Ha, old jokes.
Yes. They are our specialty. Because nothing's older than your mom. Jokes. See what I did there?
No, you were right first time.
I was right both times.
Your mom's the right answer every time.
Yeah.
For a nickel.
So I guess the whole purpose of Forze's suit being basically all white is to represent it being basically a blank slate.
In theory, yes.
I don't really get that, but sure, whatever.
Do you remember during Armada in Japan, one of the stores gave away uncolored Destruction Team minicons with the idea that the people who got them could paint them into their own color schemes when they got them?
I wonder how many people did that.
Well, probably none. I imagine they all got the pre-made minicons and then turned around to put them on eBay and Yahoo Japan auctions.
And especially considering that you probably, that to get them, you probably had to buy a bunch of toys that you already had.
Yeah, I don't remember what the purchase requirement was for that, but it's usually
pretty
ridiculous.
Really kill for unpainted toys.
Well,
that would just suit my needs so greatly.
Yeah, Mickey, go to BotCon one year and get in the customizing class.
Even minicons?
Well, just in general.
Just go to the BotCon customization class, and when you get the sprues and stuff, just take all your stuff, walk out, put it on eBay.
See, this is why I wish they still had prototypes for sale on eBay. I could get those and just go to town on them.
Yeah, I kind of miss the crazy colors, too. One time there was this pink Blast Punch Optimus Primal. Like, just solid pink plastic. It was so pretty. I've got a picture of it somewhere. That kind of stuff you save, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on from Forze.
We have new Figuarts.
Lots of new Figuarts, don't we?
Yes.
Or at least
some
lots of
them you
pictures.
Can actually buy.
Maybe. Some of them you can actually buy if you can get a pre-order in the first 5 minutes.
Or 2 years from now when no one wants them anymore.
Well, or 2 years from now, but you're going to pay a hell of a lot more because they don't make them anymore. Some old Figuarts get kind of stupidly expensive. On the other hand, you can still get a troop of Zek Troopers pretty cheap.
You can still get some stuff from Double for like $50. That's reasonable.
Depends on what it is.
Well, XL and Extreme and Cyclone Joker.
And you could probably get somebody to pay you to take Cyclone XL Extreme off their hands. Okay, so what new Figuarts do we have showing this week?
Well, for starters, Wing Knight.
Because Bandai just wants to say, F*** you, Figma, one more time.
Exactly, yes.
Isn't that a Britney Spears song?
No, that was F*** me, Figma.
Oh, great.
That was back from when she was, what, 16?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy.
Clearly. So anyway, yeah, that Wing Knight actually looks pretty cool. It even has the effect part to do the corkscrew cape thing.
And I think it does come with that stand, too.
Well, it's not uncommon for Tamashi stages to come with some of the higher-end figure arts. But it looked like it had a ton of bits to it. Much like Ryuki.
They have to try and distinguish it from the Figma.
Well, no, they have to try to make it better than the Figma.
Same difference.
Well, no, I mean, it could be distinctive by being worse. You know, a worse value for your money. that would also not be abnormal for a Bandai product.
So the only reason they're doing this is just to spite Figma, right?
Well, I mean, they can't let Figma cash in on their Ryuki designs without some challenge, right?
But if Figma wasn't doing it, they would not care about Ryuki at all, would they?
Probably not right now. I mean, they haven't even done proper Deno figure arts.
And Ryuki's probably one of the least popular Kamen Rider shows.
It or Hibiki.
A lot of people hate Hibiki.
Well, it wasn't designed as a Rider series to start with.
And its appearances are so radically different.
It was banned as a Rider series from the start.
It was aired as a Rider series from the start, but the series concept was not originally for a Rider series. They just repurposed it partway through.
And it's so radically different from other Riders.
Yeah, they
Like Shin different?
Well, no, there's no decapitations.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, if Shin ripped out people's spines by playing musical instruments, then yes.
Wait, so he beats enemies with the power of rock?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome. How can people hate that?
Well, it's just, you know, not typical Rider stuff.
Anytime somebody defeats someone through metal or, you know, rocking, that's a plus in my book.
Did you ever see the Hibiki Final Attack Ride video from Decade?
That was the best part of Decade.
You didn't see it, Mickey?
No. I assume
I'm going
to rectify
that shortly. Here. You got it?
That was awfully fast. You know, stuff like bookmarked already or something? Or
usually. But you never can tell what comes up in our conversations.
He's got a good point. I mean, you should be prepared for anything when we talk about everything and anything, no matter how inappropriate it is to the discussion at hand.
Leave like your mother out of this.
I was going to say, like, Spaceballs and the Beatles, but okay.
Yeah, we talk about labias a lot, too. Is that him with the shiny armor there?
With the drumsticks, yeah.
But yes, this is one of the best parts of... Well, it's definitely the best part of Hibiki's world, but it's one of the better parts of Decade in general.
Is Hibiki fan-subbed?
I think TV Nihon has done it.
Oh, Hibiki was one that had the CD monster things.
Yeah. The disc animals. Those were
pretty
popular.
Oh, he became a giant taiko drum.
Yeah, Hibiki's on TV Nihon's list.
Yeah, they've
I'll
done everything.
Watch this.
They've done everything since Ryuki.
And it looks like they've done all of it, too.
Yeah. The only ones they haven't done completely are Kuga and Agito. I don't think they've done any of Agito, actually.
No, they haven't.
This is incredible.
This is
How
probably,
could anyone not like this show?
Well, this is probably a little bit cooler than the actual Hibiki series.
Mm.
Because it's with
And those guys don't have on helmets. What the hell? Why don't those guys have helmets on their costumes?
So that you can see their faces.
Oh, so the Power Rangers movie took over this episode.
I guess so. Well, when they showed up in their Rider armor earlier, they had their helmets on.
Well, that was incredible.
But yes, as you can see, they defeat giant crabs with music.
Giant enemy crabs.
If only your mom could defeat her crabs with music.
She should sit on their weak spot for massive damage.
She is their weak spot of massive damage.
It's great how neither one of you could actually say that whole sentence without messing up.
You care to give it a try?
Sorry.
She is their weak spot for massive damage. So
you
anyway.
Screwed it up too.
What?
You screwed it up too.
How'd I screw it up?
That's just what I'm choosing to believe.
Oh, okay. I'm fine with that as long as I know I didn't really screw it up. So,
There were other figure arts on this list, weren't there?
Yes, we got a little distracted, didn't we? So what else is new? Okay, so there was,
Gokai Blue.
Who is surprisingly not an exclusive, it seems.
Well, he's a current series.
Not a Red Ranger.
Or a Gold Ranger. Or Silver. I want to see figure arts Gokai Silver.
I'm sure we will.
Yeah. Of course, he couldn't have... What?
Would his armor be an accessory or be a separate mold?
The armor would be a Tamashii Web exclusive.
Yeah, probably so.
Just like the Birth Claws set.
See, what they would do, they would do Figure Arts Gokai Silver with, like, the spear and the phone. And then the exclusive part would be the gold mode shield and the trident and gun modes.
Make your own magic helmet.
Right. His helmet's very magical. It looks like a head rag.
A do-rag.
Whatever. I'm not all hip like you, old man. What else do we see?
The Riot Trooper.
Ah, yes, the good old Riot Trooper, which also maybe isn't exclusive.
It looks like that's a mass release, yes.
Surprisingly not evil. How about that?
Well, not
yet. Are they changing their evil ways?
Oh, no, we haven't gotten to that part yet.
Uh-oh. Well, are we going to get to that?
Hell yeah, I guess the Ryo Trooper doesn't deserve as much discussion.
Well, none of us have seen that much of Fize, have we?
We should fix that at some point, too.
I'm working on it.
They should have a crossover, Go-Go Fize. No?
V.
Oh, that's right.
Go-Go Vs. Okay, so anyway...
First on the list of exclusive figure arts is Bura Kawani from Oz.
That's not really surprising either. I mean, it's a movie writer.
And not terribly upsetting either.
Yeah, it doesn't really look that good as a figure arts.
And it wasn't all that good of a movie that, well, the part of it that it was in.
It wasn't yet for X.
And sadly, I'm guessing this means there won't be a combo change version of it.
No.
Wait, which one's the Bura Kawani?
The orange one.
Oh, I was getting the other non-existent form with it mixed up.
What?
Tamashi.
Yeah, where's our Tamashi combo change figure?
Also doesn't exist.
Right.
Maybe but we're better off because that one sucks.
Don't you want it for completion's sake, though?
No.
Very well, then. What else is on the exclusives list?
Mizzoul.
Again, not really surprising.
Joining the other greed, of course.
Right. So, is that all of them now accounted for?
No, they still need Little Ankh.
But of the main four, that is all of them accounted for.
Five, considering the Hand Ankh got a regular release.
Right. Everybody forgets about Little Ankh, anyway.
That's because he doesn't do anything.
Not yet. And given that there's only a few episodes of the show left, he probably won't anyway. Way to screw up that plot line.
Yeah.
Well, it just goes to show that a writer series can't do everything perfectly.
Unless it's Double. Perfect.
Yeah, Double didn't really screw anything up badly, did it?
Yeah, there was some stuff.
Shut
that
up, Fortmax. So what else is in the news? Paladin, what's up next?
Two new entries from the Giant line of Medicom figures.
Oh yeah, the Date figure.
Right.
Complete that looks really good.
Are his clothes removable?
I don't know why that's the first question asked about it, but I think they might be.
Well, we need to see if he's got his amazing ab set sculpted underneath the shirt.
And his giant package.
Yes, that as well.
Don't think I don't remember that was the first thing you noticed about him in Rescue Force.
That was the first thing they showed of him, is a shot of his crotch.
Doesn't matter, it's the first thing you noticed.
You're going to want to dress him up in his Rescue Force costume, and probably also the cross-dress costume.
Well, no, actually I was thinking that already, you know. At least fans in Japan will probably be stitching together their own R5
for them.
No, their own R5 suits out of beautiful fluorescent orange. Because when else will they get a better Rescue Force figure than that? For only $200.
What a bargain.
So did you say there was another Medicom figure?
Gokai Red.
Oh, yes.
The first time Super Sentai has ever been featured in this line.
Unfortunately, this does not have Marvelous's face, does it?
No, it doesn't. It's only transformed to Gokai Red.
It's okay. Marvelous's dimpled cheeks piss me off.
It's his weird smile that confuses me.
Yeah, I mean, you always want to punch him in the face.
No, you're
it's like only the
corners
of his mouth smile. The rest of his smile does not move.
I wonder if the actor does that on purpose or if he's just had some horrible accident with a vat of chemicals.
Maybe he had a horrible accident with the Ghost Eggers.
Well, his hair's not green, so I don't think...
Well, yeah, then he'd have to be like Gokai Purple, wouldn't he?
Or Gokai Overrated Performance.
Well, whatever. But yes, Gokaiger is definitely setting some new standards, isn't it?
It would definitely appear so.
Oh, and we forgot to mention, too, that with Gokai Blue, the first edition of that comes with another part of the Gokaio cockpit. The blue steering wheel.
Ah,
right. Not that much of a surprise, though.
I suppose not. But still, where's Navi?
In a way, I'm kind of glad they haven't shown a Navi yet, because then I'd be upset that I didn't have one.
Still waiting for that deluxe electronic Navi that flies around in circles and smashes into my ceiling.
Yeah, we've been talking about how we've been wondering how, you know, Saban could possibly adapt Gokaiger into for America.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had the solution to it. They're not. They're going to skip it and go on to the series after that and try to adapt it the same year that it's running like they've done in the past.
Huh. That would be a wreck.
Now that would be par for the course, considering Saban and Samurai.
Well, no, because at least with Samurai, they know what the complete story is so that they can copy it. You know, if they're going along week by week with the Sentai, they have no idea what's going on with it, because neither does Japan. They need to have a complete series that they can rip off.
They should adapt like Rescue Force then and call it Power Rangers.
Well, the problem with that, though, is that Rescue
Mysticara,
Force...
Yeah.
Right. Otherwise, they could have adapted it as, like, you know, new VR Troopers or something.
And speaking of Saban and Samurai...
What?
There's a news report saying this September we'll have something called the Power Rangers Samurai Origin Special.
I don't believe it. Remember, these are the same people that promised we'd get all the old episodes of Power Rangers on Nicktoons last year.
Well, then they went and did something better, though, so...
Well, not for people without Netflix.
Well, those people don't matter.
Matters to me. But still, if they would have done the Netflix thing in October, like they said they were going to do with the Nicktoons thing, that would be different. This is obviously still a different thing than that. But no, what I'm waiting for with this Origin special is that it's going to be like a behind-the-scenes Samurai special where they're showing the filming of the first episodes, but they don't actually show the first episodes themselves.
No. It's going to be the origins of Power Rangers Samurai, as in how they acquired the business license to put Power Rangers back in Saban's hands again.
There you go.
It'll be That's interviews perfect. With lawyers and court proceedings and things.
Yes. And Paul Schreier.
Yes.
Just because he would.
Because they'd toss him $10.
Yeah.
And a salad.
Well, that's where I thought he was going when he started saying toss him. Well, yeah, hopefully they actually do show the first two episodes months and months late. So, way to go.
Par for the course, Saban.
It's almost like old times, isn't it? Except back then they didn't screw up the airing order like this.
No, they
back
screwed
then,
it up
no
completely
better,
right?
One at a time. One of you say something.
Back then they just screwed it up completely different.
Well, back then they screwed up the rerun airing order.
Just the way we screw up your mom repeatedly for a nickel.
In reruns. So Mickey, what were you trying to say over Paladin again?
I don't even remember at this point.
Probably wasn't that important anyway.
Yeah, you already said I don't matter.
Huh?
I don't have Netflix, have so
Netflix.
I don't matter.
Oh, okay. I get you. Alright, so anything else?
Yeah, the best and worst part of the news this week. The Armor Plus Ronin Warriors line is finally continuing.
After how long?
It's only been a few months since we first saw new molds for the line.
But how long since...
It's at least a year since Ryo came out.
I was thinking it had even been longer than that. A good couple years, anyway.
So what's coming out for it?
The remaining five warriors.
Did they already do Inferno
upsetting.
Armor?
No, not yet.
Oh.
The next one will be Rowan. And like I predicted earlier, it looks like they're all Thomas E. Webb exclusives.
Of course they are.
Oh.
Okay, but
well, that's
I
good because
know...
I was actually considering getting a Rowan, and now I don't have to consider it anymore.
Yeah, but it's going to be even worse when they release Anubis.
If they release Anubis.
Maybe he won't have his coat, so...
That's really the only thing that you could hope for at this point. And you said they haven't released Inferno yet?
No, that's next
will be
after...
an event exclusive.
See, this is what Bandai is doing to make up for things like the Riot Trooper not being an exclusive. That's how this works. So, Paladin, what are you going to mortgage to get yourself a set of Armor Plus Samurai Troopers?
Well, from the looks of it, I probably won't be buying any Forze merchandise, so with that saving, I might be able to get the other three.
With Forze, I just can't wait to see how big the toy belt is.
Well, it's the strap for it's still going to be big enough to fit around your wrist, so...
Well, yes, but if the, you know, plastic part of the belt is, like, 3 feet wide, like it looks on the costume, then even the strap is only big enough to fit around your wrist, it'll probably be long enough to go around your waist, too. You know, it'll be like a bow and arrow at that point.
That's only if the belt is attached to the ends of the buckle.
It just sticks out to the sides.
Yeah.
That would be, hilariously awful. Okay, I think there's one more news item.
Which was?
Well, I guess we have to let Fort Max talk now.
Yeah. The first of the Samurai Fall 4-inch figures have shown up, though just the regular Gold Ranger at a store in an airport.
Which I imagine in the grand scheme of distribution equates to a grocery store or Walgreens.
Or Georgia.
Well, yeah, I suppose an airport store would smell like cigarettes. But no, I mean, like, I found Super Legends Lord Zedd back then locally in a grocery store when I never saw it in person anywhere else. You know, sometimes they just get stuff like that before.
I found Super Legends Lord Zedd and Super Legends Green Ranger at KB Toys at Grapevine Mills when that store got all the other stuff from the other stores that had already shut down.
And you only had to pay $25 for it.
Five apiece, actually.
I saw them at Walmart like all the damn time.
Well,
like,
when
they sit on the shelves for weeks.
When the Gold Ranger and White Ranger wave came out, those were a lot more common.
Yeah, those were shelf warming for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And the set after that, never saw.
I think I saw the Green Samurai Ranger.
Which one?
The one without the vest.
I saw the one with the gerbil, whichever one that was.
The only version of that Ranger that I liked the look of was the regular mode with the vest on.
I'm pretty sure most people felt that way.
Well, yeah, I believe that was the one that didn't come out.
Oh, so that one never came out.
I think. It's been a while. I can't clearly remember. Now, I'll tell you what never came out, which was Zia Ranger 5. Which was solicited... What?
Who was Zia Ranger 5?
Red.
Red, okay.
Tommy.
I don't have the numbers memorized. I didn't watch Zio.
Really?
Not even the musical episode?
Nope.
If ever there was an episode of Zio to skip.
You had us watch the musical episode.
Yeah, but I don't even think I watched that.
I'll assign you all... Power Rangers at all from season 2 up until In Space.
Why?
Because it was horrible.
It wasn't that bad.
Well, for me it was.
At least and you bypassed the giant pizza that day.
But the giant pizza was the best part. I mean, that whole episode.
You know, I'd love to see someone sub that Car Ranger episode just to know what's actually going on there.
I think what's going on there is exactly what it looks like is going on there.
So there's salad tossing?
You know, Mickey, in Car Ranger, the villains also have a bar just like the Guy Art did.
What, in Car Ranger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not Turbo.
No, not Turbo, but Car Ranger might be worth your time if somebody gets around to subbing all of it.
Yeah. Car Ranger is awesome. As awesome as it was in that Patrick episode, then yes, I need to watch that.
The only thing of Car Ranger I've seen is Car Ranger versus Mega Ranger.
No, the first six episodes have been recently resubbed.
Yes, but until there's, like, the whole series done, I don't really care.
Right.
And Car Ranger versus O-Ranger's also been subbed.
Because, you know, until the whole series gets subbed, the subbing group can decide they just don't want to do it anymore. After the whole series is done, that's a little harder to do. Okay, so if that's all the news out of the way, perhaps we should move on to discussion of the shows.
And rejoice, because we have shows again.
Current shows, even.
Shows worth talking about.
Not that our battle fever dream last week was unenjoyable. Okay, so Gokaiger.
Yo ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action!
So, this week's episode of Gokaiger appears to be the Guy Ikari self-insertion fanfic, wherein he makes everybody like him and shows exactly how awesome he is, and everybody loves him.
Holy shit, you're right.
The sad part is I realized this as I was watching the episode, and it really hampered my enjoyment of it.
I was more impressed by the origin of his powers. Is apparently he got them because he was high on morphine and hallucinating.
After being hit by a bus.
The Silver Ranger's Gokaiger powers come from drugs.
Well, it is Japan.
I know I was expecting Guy to die when I saw the source of his powers, but man, he didn't even last as long as Animated Prime.
He died before he even became a ranger.
He died only partway through his second episode.
So, I wonder if in Japan this is going to cause a rash of little children to run out in front of buses in hopes of getting hit, going to the hospital, having their own morphine dreams, and waking up with ranger powers.
Well, waking up with ranger powers given to him by three dead jerkasses.
Yes. Yes, once you get past how this episode plays across to those of us familiar with self-insertion fanfiction, this is really at the top of its game this week. Dude gets hit by a bus, goes to the hospital, is all drugged up, and meets three dead assholes in the afterlife or something, and gets powers.
Technically one dead asshole and two dead costumes, because the others wouldn't come back for cameos.
Not important. They were just as much of assholes in their costumes as out.
Yeah, there were so much assholes they didn't even show themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the polite thing to do would have been to power down and show him their faces. But no, they're just going to stand there in costume and look menacing.
Well,
actually, they're standing there like they're models on a museum display.
Well, maybe Dragon Ranger was a mannequin. I don't remember him moving very much. But, you know, Timefire was at least tapping his gun.
Well, yeah, doing that tapping his gun against his morpher thing.
Yeah.
That was nice.
And at least they had the right shield for Dragon Ranger.
It would have been great if they used the Bandai America, or the Saban one.
You know that ended up being some blanket for some cat of a Saban executive.
Well, that's probably what it started out as, too.
Dragon Ranger's grandma knitted it for him.
Well, she's probably dead now, too, so that would work.
But she died doing what she loved. Whoring.
No, that's Dragon Ranger's mom.
Oh.
We were going somewhere with this, I think, but that's not important anymore.
Something about Guy.
So basically this picks up from the end of the last episode where they're all questioning him about how he got his powers, where he relates the hit by a bus story.
And explains that he technically has 3 ultimate powers, but doesn't know how to get them to work.
Because he doesn't have the keys, he figures out.
So they take him to the galleon, where he fangasms repeatedly.
And then he goes and rummages through their chest.
I'm pretty sure he did that same thing to your mom for about a nickel.
Yeah. So after he pulls out... Did he pull out one or all three of the...
He pulled out all three.
So after that, Marvelous yanks his Gokai Cellular and Ranger Key away from him. Because, you know, he's Marvelous like that.
Well, he's looking out for his best interest.
Yeah, no need to have another nut on the crew.
He's got plenty of those already.
Yeah. Well, I meant for a guy's best interest.
No, I'm pretty sure he was looking out for Marvelous's best interest.
Well, I mean, that's the outward appearances, but the real reason he did it is because he knows that Guy has no clue what he's getting himself into.
And but then...
He doesn't want him to sign up to be attacked by everyone in the universe before he knows what he's getting into.
But Marvelous gives him a chance and tells him that if he can prove his worth to the crew by demonstrating what he brings to the table that Marvelous himself doesn't have, he can stay.
Which is a fair challenge.
Well, that Marvelous or the others don't already have.
I don't know. I think if Guy was a decent cook, he'd let him stick around to fill in for Doc when Doc is doing whatever Doc is doing. Yeah.
So it appears that what Guy brings to the team is insanity.
But again, how is that different from the rest of them? No.
Unrestrained insanity.
No, I think what it is that Guy brings to the table is his determination to completely defeat the Zangak rather than just find the ultimate treasure like the rest of them are after.
And actual knowledge of the Ranger Keys.
Well, yes, that seems to help. Yeah, the best part of the episode, I think, was during the fight scene when Guy asks Marvelous for the Ranger Key for the Gold Ranger with the kanji on his face.
And then you have this long montage of each of them going into their Shinkenger forms so that it gets to Guy and, oh, Ranger!
Yes.
No, the other kanji face.
Yeah. Well, and then he starts making a speech about...
He does the King Ranger speech.
Yeah.
But then he realizes that it's wrong.
Yeah.
It's wrong, but speeches are just triggered automatically when you use the key.
No, I think Guy is just that much of a nerd that he has all of the Ranger speeches memorized. That's the implication I got out of it.
I'd believe that.
Yeah.
Well, he also tried to morph without a morpher, so...
Well, yeah, that was kind of funny, too. And then he beat up the dump troops with a stick. Poor dump troops.
Yeah, so... Blah, blah, blah. Fight goes on forever against the dump troops. Nothing terribly exciting.
It was a good fight, though.
Yeah, it was okay.
It was a good fight as Guy tries to insert himself into everyone's personal fight.
But fails.
Yes. And almost gets his head taken off by Joe.
And I don't think we would have blamed Joe.
No, no.
So we get the inappropriately named Shinkenger 6-stroke slash...
And then
you know, there's like 1,000 sword classes in it.
And then another.
Oh no, Mickey! I thought you were saying that was inappropriately named for a completely different reason. 6-stroke slash.
Yeah, I guess that works too.
And then part is where Dawn. We're Dawn.
Dawn.
As in Doc.
Yeah, but you're saying Dawn.
Like D-A-W-N.
He's like Australian.
Okay, well, best part, right after that, where Doc takes Guy's sword and starts looking at it, and the guy grabs it back.
Doc doesn't really seem too thrilled with this arrangement.
Well, considering Guy's first appearance, he wrote Doc out of the show.
Well, that's true.
The next episode is all about how Doc and Guy don't get along.
Which is predictable.
Yeah, we had a similar thing in Shinkanger, except then it was gold and blue, not silver and green.
Yeah, but Blue was kind of a bitch to everyone in Shinkanger, wasn't he?
Yeah, pretty much.
Fair enough.
So, and then the Gokaigers bust out a bunch of silver keys.
Yes, and then I don't know if the episode... I don't think the episode did it on purpose, but Overtime made the Forever Red reference.
Yeah, the episode is more... all silver. And
but in the subtitles, they have Guy saying, "All right, Forever Silver."
And the thing is, Guy does not English as well as Bosco.
I'm sure it's a difficult skill for somebody speaking Japanese.
But the Forever thing is just Overtime being cute, just like when they say Broto.
Right. So I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're capturing the spirit of the material, not an exact mechanical translation, and that's okay.
Right, and right. Especially since Guy's the fanboy.
And especially just with Gokaiger in general, all the little references and stuff they put in, I don't think it's inappropriate to add a minor thing like that in the subtitles for the English-speaking audience specifically.
I can only imagine there's a huge argument over it at Ranger Board right now.
There is.
Really?
Really.
Well, it's Ranger Board. It's kind of the...
Mos Eisley of forums.
More of the point...
It's not as bad as the Dark of the Moon arguments over at TFW 2005.
See, this is why on 2005, the only place I post usually is in the toy photos thread.
Or sightings.
Yeah, sometimes. You know, while that can get kind of stupid too, it's not nearly as stupid as the movie forum or Ranger Board.
Although, weirdly enough, the toy custom section on TFW is actually very, very good.
A lot of activity.
A lot of supportive activity. There's hardly any negativity at all on it.
I should post there more then.
Anyway, so Silver Rangers show up and... wipe out the last of the mooks.
And Guy uses the new Gokai Supernova to destroy the Monster of the Week.
Which is also an awesome finishing move.
Yes.
He fires a bullet so hard it blows him backwards in a backflip.
Very theatrical. And sadly, this week, Guy did not get to have his tinsel thrown behind him.
They spent all their budget on the silver costumes.
Yeah, probably so.
And so, with the saddle lasers fired and the monster grown to full size, Guy finally gets to try out his real ultimate powers.
And then this leads to the most awesome part of the episode and the least awesome part of the episode. Yes.
The awesome part is, well, they brought back the city from the future.
Yeah. The Zord is launched from the matte background of the future city
from
Time Ranger. And it's also the least awesome part. Time travel does not work that way. At no point was it punched by a giant robot through a portal.
Yeah, I mean, you can time travel without being punched in the butt by a giant robot, but you get lost.
Right.
You need to be punched in the butt by the giant robot to stay on course through time. I guess.
But, I mean, of course, it's probably that they may still have... I know they typically keep all the mech hero suits and actually have most of them on display, but they probably didn't have the scale set for the Time Ranger city anymore.
Maybe somebody stole it and it's hanging in a closet next to Leopardon.
And of course they couldn't use the stock footage because that's not in high def.
Right. Well, they did still have... they did still have the map backdrop at least.
Yeah, but that's different than just using the existing footage from Time Ranger that they could have overlaid Guy's Megazord onto.
Right.
Yeah, maybe this takes place even further in the future where they perfected time travel without the use of butt-punching Megazords.
Well, yeah, would you do that?
And actually, that's a good point, because it didn't use the time travel gate, did it? They just showed it flying over the future city, and then it was in the time stream.
Well, flying over the matte backdrop, but...
Wait a second. Maybe there's just a cut scene. They cut that part out for time. Maybe it was just flying over the matte backdrop to where it was going to get punched in the butt.
Like I said, though, they didn't show it going through the portal, right?
So it could still be punched.
But it was going through the same wormhole effect.
Right, but my point is they didn't actually show it entering the time stream in any way. It was just there after shown flying over the matte background.
Right.
So yes, it could still, off screen, be punched in the butt by the giant robot through the time gate.
As it should be.
We're going to stick with that for right now.
Right, right.
Until they prove us wrong. And even then, we probably won't accept it. So these three stages of Guy's Megazord are activated in sequence by his three ultimate powers.
Right, the drill form is by the Time Ranger, by the Time Fire Key.
Really, though, shouldn't that be by the Dragon Ranger Key, since Dragon Ranger had the mecha with a drill?
So does the Dragon Ranger form.
They've all got drills, so it doesn't really matter that much.
Yeah, and actually this episode, I don't know if they actually used any CGI at all for Guy's mech in that sequence.
I don't think they did.
Possibly.
Maybe
not.
During the transformation.
No, that was all model.
Yeah,
it was.
All model in the suit.
That's why it looks so good.
Yeah, the CGI never really matches up.
Well, the CG they got for Gokai, well, it looks pretty terrible compared to the model footage.
That's because it actually has to do stuff.
Well, that's true. Not that I wouldn't like to see them try to do that whole rider kick through the space fleet thing from the first episode with, like, models and practical effects.
That would have been impossible.
Would have been hilarious.
Well, it would have been possible, but it would have been insanely expensive.
Right.
Even more so than the rest of the series.
It would have been insanely expensive and still looked really cheap.
But yes, after drilling the monster, it then transforms to Dino Mode using Dragon Ranger's powers. And I like that transformation sequence, especially where it just sticks the drill in the ground to stand up.
It's a good-looking dinosaur mode, too.
Complete with fire breath.
Well, naturally.
Atomic breath.
All dinosaurs breathe fire.
And are also always look cool, no matter what era.
Right. And so, then, with the Abare Killer Key, he goes to Megazord mode.
You mean Megatron mode?
Actually, wouldn't that be more Beast Wars 2nd Galvatron drill?
Oh, because that drill ended up on his back.
Shut up.
This one has the drill tail on one arm and the dino head on the other arm.
Yeah, see, that's not really Megatron so much as it is the Dino Thunder Megazord.
Which came first, Beast Wars Megatron or Dino Thunder?
Beast Wars Megatron.
There you go.
By far. But
so there's your point.
But Beast Wars Megatron didn't have a drill arm.
They had a tail arm, though.
But not a drill arm.
So he stole it from Dinobot.
What, Paladin?
He stole it from Dinobot.
Dinobot didn't have a drill tail either.
He had a chopping tail, and that's what this Megazord has.
No, he had a rotate blade. That's different.
It's still what this Megazord has.
Shut up. Besides, aren't the arms on the wrong side for Megatron?
No.
Well, remember, they're on the Eastern Hemisphere, so things are backwards there.
No, that's Australia, right, Fort Max?
Well,
where the toilet flushes backwards.
Well, isn't that...
It flushes up.
Yeah. It certainly does.
Though, actually, this is more Beast Machines Megatron, then.
Now, what this is stupid. Let's move on.
Right. We can all agree with that.
So... Was it Dai Jujin? Is that it?
No, it's...
Gojujin.
Gojujin, yeah. Yes.
Or just call it Gokai Machine 6.
I don't hate the design as much as I originally did. Because now understanding what the forms are connected to, it does make sense. But I still have a problem of why the shit is it blue? It should be silver.
That would look boring, though.
Blue doesn't make any sense, though.
What it should be is completely covered in chrome, where the whole surface is a mirror.
I'd be down for that.
Yes.
But why blue? It doesn't make any sense at all. It's not connected to anything.
Decade.
Well, actually, if it's blue, though, wouldn't it be D-end?
Yeah, that's possible. The ninth can't get here fast enough.
Why?
Because that's when that thing's released.
Oh. And that's when you're a lot poorer.
Well, I'm always that way.
Well, yeah. But hey, you made almost $20 this week. Well, okay, you made more like 10 after shipping. But still, you get my point.
Yeah. Probably enough for an IMAX show.
No, it's not. Mickey, what was that? What was the? How much were the IMAX tickets for Revenge of the Fallen?
Now, do you mean in terms of dollars or in terms of our lives?
No, just the monetary value.
In terms
right
of
now.
Dollars or in terms of Tomashi Web exclusives?
I was going to say in terms of dollars or in terms of a joke that you can't do better than Mickey did, Fort Max. And I was right.
I believe they were, I think, $20 a piece, basically.
Yeah, I think it might have been a little less than that, but that's close enough. So yeah, definitely wouldn't do an IMAX show. I believe even the matinee tickets for the 3D show I'm going to go see is like $11.50, $12. Movie tickets kind of suck.
But 3D is awesome, so.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Might, 3D is great.
It might be good for a movie that was designed to use it, like Dark of the Moon was.
3D is always awesome, going all the way back to Friday the 13th, Part 3.
What about Jaws 3D?
Awesome.
Piranha 3D?
Yeah, do you know they're making a sequel to that?
So, Piranha 3D 2?
Piranha 3 Double D.
Nice!
Yes.
That's a guaranteed hit just from the title.
Yeah. And plus, we can't mention Piranha 3D without saying, hit it, DJ Chocolate Thunder.
All right. So, next week on Gokaiger, or still this week, because after all that, Guy got to be a probationary member of the crew.
Oh, and also one thing that's mentioned, that was actually mentioned at the beginning of the episode, is that Commander Nepotism is still knocked out.
Oh. And they're just also heartbroken about it, too, aren't they?
Yes, look how much we all care.
Well, and what was it? Barazog even said, well, maybe we can actually get some work done now. Or something to that effect. Yeah. That was funny. So, yes, back to the self-insertion fanfic angle. At the end of the episode, everybody loves Guy, and he's part of the crew.
And it continues next week when he gets a power that none of the other Rangers have.
Right. Seriously, this is major self-insertion fanfic territory. I hope that kind of ends. Otherwise, Guy is going to be very unlikable. Which is too bad, because he seems pretty likable.
I like him. He's mouthy.
I don't hate him, but that could be just because he's not a ghost egger.
Yeah, really? Okay, so let's go on to O's.
This is what, 39 now?
Yes.
Final countdown.
Yep, after this week there is, what, 8 episodes left?
It doesn't feel like they're anywhere close to resolving the storyline.
Well, maybe the storyline is going to just continue through all the way to the end of the series.
No, I meant the whole series storyline. I don't think they're anywhere close to wrapping things up.
Oh. Well, possibly not.
I've got a bad feeling that O's is not going to end satisfactorily.
Well, maybe it'll do like Decade and wait for the movie at the end of the year to wrap up the story.
That would still be kind of disappointing.
Oh, that would be very disappointing. I mean, how do you think all those people felt with Decade doing that?
Well, they knew it was his fault anyway.
Right. Okay, so on this week's episode of O's, these three things happened. Mickey?
Well, Ankh had a fever dream because he watched Battle Fever J. And now he's paranoid for no real reason.
Well, actually, I think he has a pretty good reason to be paranoid, which is that based on the dialogue in the episode, I don't think Greedo's supposed to dream. Because while he understood what a dream was, he seemed surprised that he had one.
So he blames it on the detective.
Well, duh.
Instead of blaming it on the rain. They keep falling.
Okay, so second?
You also have the creepy neighborhood association guy who's put up spy cameras everywhere.
Yeah, because like, there's no laws against that or anything. Even in Japan.
Neighborhood associations are above laws.
Well, actually, there's actually pretty evil dialogue in there, in the episode.
What?
Well, based on what Chiyoko was saying, they aren't allowed to do that without there being a vote first in the neighborhood.
Yes, but neighborhood associations are above actual voting. They're kind of dicks.
Well, it's all about the neighborhood association mom in the episode anyway, because she's power tripping.
Oh, sure. Spoil the ending, Mickey.
Well, there's the third thing. Ankh put a yummy inside this bitch.
Little. Other Ankh.
Yes.
Lefty.
Lefty.
Ankh.
Yeah, he's Ankh. The other one's Ankh. Got that? So, meanwhile, at the foundation,
Kogami is playing the piano singing Happy Birthday.
Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
And Goto is apparently very, very cold.
But Goto has the coolest accessory this week, which is that little wrist cell metal holder. So that he'll always have a metal.
It's got a metal instead of a watch thing.
Yeah, so he'll always have a medal ready to transform into birth.
It's a lot handier than a milk jug.
Well, I was going to say, unfortunately, if he's not carrying around a backpack or milk jug full of additional cell medals, he's not going to get very far after he transforms.
And especially since he doesn't have since Satanaka just took a while to catch up.
Yes, Kogami explains to Goto that as he had already observed in his time as birth's assistant, birth works better in a team. So he's assigned Satanaka to be his partner.
Whose first action is to go on a break, is to turn off the gorilla can because she's on a break.
Yeah. Looking at questionable fashion magazines.
Kogami's logic is strong, though, because as we saw earlier, Satanaka can kick a lot of ass.
This is true.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Eiji's also trying to play the piano, which he probably stole from Schroeder.
But he doesn't really have the flair for it that Kogami does.
Like anything else.
Because Kogami's just wailing on that thing. While Eiji's just kind of tapping away at it, sadly.
You know what Kogami should have been playing instead of piano? A harpsichord.
You know, it's the weirdest thing. I was just thinking the same thing.
It's a much more Kogami instrument.
Or maybe a bassoon.
I love bassoons.
I just love saying bassoon.
I love them because no one else gives a shit about them.
Oh, you know what would also be very Kogami to play? Bagpipes.
No.
Unfortunately, you cannot sing Happy Birthday while playing the bagpipes.
I don't think that would match his wardrobe.
Dr. Maki should play a theremin.
Meanwhile, Ankh would play the tambourine. Because, you know, you only need one
maracas.
Hand. To... No, it would be the tambourine because you only need one hand to work it.
Castanets, then.
So, anyway...
It's the detective's birthday.
Which means it's now Ankh's birthday.
Right. Because they're doing the best they can to make Ankh and the detective the same character. Even without realizing it.
Right. So instead, Ankh feeds Eiji his ice cream to get him to shut up.
Well, there's been times I want Eiji to shut up too, and I don't have ice cream to stuff in his mouth.
So improvise and use something else.
Like a penis?
No, because then he'd have to give up a nickel.
I'm sorry, where were we?
I don't know.
I think we're talking about penises.
Okay, so moving on from there.
The new yummy is out spying on everyone in the neighborhood.
The turkey jerk yummy.
That yummy's upsetting to look at.
Okay, so this seems to be a yummy based on a turkey that is also a snake charmer.
I think it's supposed to be like a fighting rooster.
That really looked like a turkey's head, though.
Actually, I think Ben thought it was a buzzard.
But it had the thing hanging off of its face like a turkey.
Well, buzzards have that too, don't they?
Some of them. Maybe a turkey vulture.
Well, maybe it is a turkey vulture then.
But it's definitely not a rooster. Besides, you have to think more practically here, Paladin. If it was a fighting rooster, it would have boxing gloves.
It does.
Those weren't real boxing gloves.
If it's going to have boxing gloves, it'd be a kangaroo. And that's not till the movie.
So how does it type?
Terribly. Ah.
And the kangaroo's in the hyper battle video, not the movie.
Whatever. I can't be bothered to be accurate.
And the greed are just playing chess while all this happens.
With magic color change pieces.
By Crayola.
Until Gamel wanders in and smashes into everything.
Well, he didn't really do it by accident either.
He did it just by being Gamel.
He's mad because Mezzel is still coming on Dr. Maki. It's just that this week it's a little less creepy because she's not a 14-year-old girl. Instead, it's creepy for a different reason altogether.
Yes.
Mostly because it's Dr. Maki.
Actually, I was thinking mostly because it's probably a dude in the Mezzel suit.
So why is that creepy?
Well, apparently it was enough to creep out Dr. Maki.
Well, maybe Dr. Maki doesn't like fish.
Well, that was actually the joke I thought of at the time. He's not interested because, obviously, Mezzel would smell like fish.
He'd probably be more interested if she smelled like sausage.
Also probably creeped out because Mezzel isn't a doll.
Oh, the places that could go for it, Max.
Japan.
Oh, us, too. We're the ones thinking of this.
So during the fight, AG's getting his ass kicked by ribbons.
Well, ribbons are very effective.
And then Goto shows up.
Well, first he uses a new random combo.
Which appears to have no particular advantages at all.
Well, use the cutter wing as a boomerang.
No, I meant AG.
Yeah, oh. Berth doesn't have combos.
AG wasn't using a combo.
Okay, a random form then. Shagota, I think, is what you'd call that one.
Is there a combination of metals to where the name of it would be Goatsy?
Oh, what would his powers be?
Well, he could open holes really wide. So the only thing that this combination of metals AG's using this week can do, apparently, is shoot water out of the head.
Was that water or was that sonic waves? I couldn't decide.
Well, considering it was being used to counter fire, I'm going to say it was water.
And it can run away from the ribbon raping.
But yes, then Goto shows up and pulls out his awesome cell metal watch band thing and transforms and uses cutter wing in a really creative way.
And of course, Satanaka's not there because she had to change first.
Yeah, he was trying to
makeup.
He was trying to wait around outside her dressing room, but she was taking too long.
Yeah,
there's no wrong implications about that.
What, Mickey?
Obviously, Goto's never known a girl before. Because if he had, you know that. If you sit around and wait for them to get ready, you're never going to arrive where you're going.
So, while he has no support, he gets tied up with ribbons, too. And, of course, he has nobody to feed him more cell metal, so he can't use any more toys.
But he does use the cutter wing in a pretty creative way.
Yeah, well, that's like the third time we've mentioned that. Goto really should have brought a couple of the Gorilla Candroids with him.
What could they have done?
Toss the metals.
Yeah, they always used to toss Date medals.
And salads.
So did the Tricera one, didn't it?
Maybe, but I think they only used that like once. Just to demonstrate that the toy exists.
Speaking of which, whatever happened to the whole motorcycles that came out of vending machines?
The ride vendors do seem a little absent lately, don't they? But then so does the metal Jellyber, unless it's in a Figu Arts box. Because for one of the least used accessories in the show, it's one of the most often reproduced in the toys.
At least Double kept using his shit all the time to the very end.
Except for the Spider Watch. As impractical as that went away pretty quick.
Yeah, I forgot about that, actually.
There's not a whole lot of time you need a spider-shaped watch that's also a grappling hook.
Unless you're using
it. If I had a grappling hook watch, I would use that shit all the time. Oh, you need something from the second floor? I'll be right back.
You know, I was thinking, too, the two memory gadgets that were not in Skull's part of Movie Wars were the same as the two dopants that were in that part of Movie Wars. Same memory names, Bat and Spider.
Huh. Odd.
I doubt that really means anything, but I noticed that the other day. But yes, Double did keep its props around a little more consistently than Odes is doing. But Odes has so damn many, you know? How ridiculous would it look to keep everything around all the time?
Yeah, Odes is a little over the top with marketing.
Although it would be neat to have in their little apartment there in the back of the cafe just a bunch of Candroids walking and flying around like little loose pets.
Your mom has a loose pet. It's a cat.
Ha.
Ha.
So, stuff keeps happening in O's.
And then Satanaka shows up in...
something.
Well, it's not the leather outfit this time.
She looks kind of like a lumberjack schoolgirl.
It's definitely... well, that was one of the things she was looking at in her fashion magazine earlier.
Yeah.
And that's really about all I have to say about that.
Well, we also see that she's a lot more prepared to be a sidekick than Goto was, because she's got all the accessories neatly organized in a briefcase.
Well, you know, Kogami probably was having her train to do that while Goto was being Date's sidekick.
Obviously, I don't think Satsunaka needs training.
Also, she can't shoot straight, it looks like.
But she can also shoot the thing without getting knocked backwards.
Which it took Goto, 6 weeks to learn how to do?
Yeah, something like that. And a lot of flower pods. They're probably spending as much in flower pods as they were in cell metal. So, did Eiji get tied back up then after that?
Yeah.
He broke free using Puto Terra.
After Ankh thought he might be able to fly over there himself and change Eiji's combo for him.
That was a bad idea.
It was a bad idea in execution, but an interesting idea as an idea. You know, he'd just start flying over and putting the medals in and scanning them himself, like, all the time. That'd actually be kind of funny. But yes, then Puto Terra stuff and cliffhanger. Yep.
And the episode ends with Eiji trying to prevent from rebonding with the detective.
Yeah.
Which is not going to end well.
And it looks like next week we come close to having Ankh get reabsorbed by Ankh again.
Well, next episode is called Vanishing Ankh, and that doesn't bode well.
Maybe it's the other Ankh that vanishes. Or maybe Ankh just runs away.
Ghost floats off to under a staircase again.
In the rain.
Yes.
Homeless arm. So yeah, Oz is almost over with.
And that makes us sad.
Not as sad as Double.
Yeah.
I was a lot more disappointed when I realized that Double was almost over than when I realized Oz is almost over.
I think I'm about satisfied with Oz at this point. just because it's not coming together as solid as the story as Double was.
Yeah, Double was extraordinary. O's is just kind of...
O's has got a lot of great things in it.
Yeah, it has its awesome moments, but otherwise it's just kind of there.
Yeah, the season-long plot is really kind of lacking.
There's a season-long plot?
It's lacking because they're not explaining as much as they should be.
Yeah.
Also, I don't like the medals as a gimmick as much as the Gaia Memories.
See, I think the medals work better.
I like the concept of the medals and being a power struggle between good and evil, so they're always swapping back and forth, so no one ever really gets an advantage. But they kind of did away with that after the first half of the season.
Or they just didn't follow up on it as much.
Yeah.
Still, I like Double better at this point, where I knew I'd miss it more than I feel like with O's.
I like the O's designs better than Double.
No, Double's designs are great. Everything about Double is great, except that it ended.
There's more variety with O's.
I like the simplicity of Double's designs better, I think. That's to say I dislike the ones in O's, I just think I like Double's better.
Yeah, Double's better. Okay, so let's take a break and then we'll, do stuff and such.
We'll go psycho.
Too late. And
also, there's a review something somewhere.
From Beast Wars to Zeta Gundam, FigureReviews.com features a library of in-depth action figure reviews and high-quality photography reaching back to 2005.
XV and RAC carefully evaluate each figure and rate it on a non-numerical scale ranging from state-of-the-art to shoot-yourself, using a special formula based on years of toy reviewing experience.
Text, photos, video, audio. Informative awesome in every format. FigureReviews.com.
Welcome back to Paladin's Place, preferred provider of mechanized melee. This week I return to the world of Megazords, the elegant, unmoving bricks that currently make up about 40% of my collection shelf space. And our power playback special this week provides several great review opportunities.
Megazord sequence has been initiated!
Power Rangers in Space could be the most beloved series in the history of the franchise, thanks to some spectacular action and excellent storytelling culminating in the most epic battle of spandex heroes that American audiences have ever witnessed, a record Space will continue to hold until Gokaiger adaptation begins. Furthermore, the Space series is the first in a trio of shows where the Zords are all consistently awesome. Because of that, it's a little difficult to select a review subject for this week. The first Space Megazords are standalone transforming robots rather than color-coded assembly blocks, in a unique break from Megazord traditions. And while these are certainly worth talking about, they aren't the first Zords that spring to my mind when In Space is discussed. Instead, I'll be reviewing my personal favorite Megazord from this series, and the only Zord to ever keep its original Sentai name after adaptation.
Mega Winger, now!
The Mega Voyager. After winning a card game on an unidentified planet, Red Ranger Andros retrieves key cards that reveal the location of previously unknown Zords known as Mega Vehicles. Each vehicle is supposedly based on a different type of spacecraft. V1, Robo-Voyager, resembles an astronaut spacesuit, but technically I guess this isn't a vehicle at all, so make of that what you will. V2, Shuttle-Voyager, is naturally based on the space shuttle, and this is the most useless vehicle in the fleet. I'll explain why in a bit. V3, Rocket-Voyager, as you may have guessed, is modeled after a rocket ship. For my own safety, I'll overlook the allegedly phallic nature of this vehicle and just move on to the next one. V4, Saucer-Voyager. Supposed to be based on a flying saucer. This may be straining a definition again with regards to authentic spacecraft, but the design is functional enough. V5 is Tank Voyager, and this is the point where the spacecraft lineup really falls apart. To the best of my knowledge, we have never used or needed tanks in space. Nitpicky criticisms about vehicle choices aside, these are pretty good Zords. Robo-Voyager is probably the best of them because it possesses some minor articulation instead of being just a solid brick like usual. After a relatively simple transformation sequence, the vehicles combine into Mega Voyager. This is an excellently designed Megazord, incorporating multiple elements from each vehicle into a singular configuration. Unfortunately, like most 90s-era Megazords, there is virtually no articulation besides arm rotation, and even that has to be handled carefully. The screws used in Saucer Voyager have been known to break after extensive strain. But the biggest loose end in this combo is Shuttle Voyager, which only exists to carry the Mega Voyager head. Shuttle serves no other purpose in the Megazord aside from its optional secondary function as a useless defense shield. And that kinda sucks. Every other vehicle Zord in this set has a well-thought-out transformation and integral part in the combined form. But why does Shuttle get left out in the vacuum? I might understand if Shuttle belonged to one of the girls, but still, this always bugged me. Mega Voyager's real weapon in fights is the top half of Rocket Voyager. The rocket weapon can't actually launch, which I presume is due to several safety regulations, but it is a somewhat refreshing change from the seemingly endless progression of Megazord's saber attacks.
Mega B3 Missile Mode! Online! Fire!
Overall, I believe Mega Voyager is an excellent Megazord design featuring a mostly impressive theme and an unfortunately not as impressive transformation. Definitely worthy of shelf space if you can find it nowadays. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more Superhero Time!
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record, news, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, you're on a Street Fighter 3.
And now back to action with Superhero Time.
So this week on Power Playback, we find out why Evil Ranger Team will never be quite as good again. Because In Space did it the best.
Psycho Rangers.
And nothing can ever live up to the Psycho Rangers.
In Space did a lot of things the best.
But especially the Psycho Rangers. See, every year after this, the show just kept bringing the Psycho Rangers back again and again to be the Evil Ranger team for each following season. Because that wouldn't have gotten old or anything.
Of course not. Because they're the friggin' Psycho Rangers.
Watching these episodes again, I know we only officially watched one, but I watched a couple of them. I'm always kind of amazed that the Psycho Rangers didn't kill the shit out of the In Space Rangers, because they totally could have.
Yeah.
They were stronger and smarter than them.
Only evil.
Right. And made
and faster.
Metal.
And
made more alive.
Well, actually, that's true, because at first they didn't transform either. So, Mickey, did you watch Carlos on Call?
Yes.
Well, that's a
that
shame.
Girl. Well, upside her head.
And just wait until a few weeks from now when we talk about Mission to Secret City. When she comes back and does something equally slap up the head.
Oh, God, she comes back?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Jesus.
I haven't watched the episodes in like 10 years, and I still remember her.
Oh, yeah. It's okay.
Still better than Nozomu, though.
That's okay. She's probably working at a Taco Bell right now.
Well, so, still better than one of the other child actors on the show.
Which one?
One of?
The one that killed some people.
I thought that was a putty.
No, it was one of the... It was the main kid on the Socadillo episode.
Huh. Socadillo.
So anyway...
Okay, Psycho Rangers, let's go.
Yes, our official Power Playback episode for this week was Rangers Gone Psycho. The first in, what, like a 5-6-part series on the Psycho Rangers?
More. I think it was longer than... It was more than just five episodes or six, five or six. So
well, it was like five episodes until they got destroyed.
The first
then
time
they came back.
Yes, but that should be counted separately.
Anyway, basically the whole deal is astronomers come up with a really damn good plan.
Yeah.
She's made the Psycho Rangers, and they're secretly draining Dark Spectre of his power to defeat the Power Rangers. So she's eliminating both of her threats at the same time.
And,
mind you, she wins.
Mind you, though, this is after Astronema has allegedly been reprogrammed to be loyal to Dark Spectre.
Well, reprogrammed to be evil, not loyal.
Well, it was Darkonda that did the reprogramming, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he's kind of...
I imagine loyalty to Dark Spectre was not one of his priorities either.
Right. He probably doesn't even understand what it mind the entire loyalty thing anyway.
Just so long as he still gets out with his lives intact.
Right. But Darkonda wasn't in this episode, so enough about him.
So the Rangers are in that damn surf spot cafe they keep going to.
French fries.
Fake juice bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is the juice bar with some new paint.
And a new set of stairs outside one of the hallways.
And no Ernie.
And an even less attractive version of Ernie running it.
Is that possible?
No, I watched the episode, so apparently.
But hey, French fries.
That certainly was an assload of French fries.
Well, the French fries are as good as they always made them out to be. It makes sense.
It's not salt on them, it's cocaine.
Well, no, it's probably just that the French fries were fried in lard instead of shortening.
But Mama's little baby loves shortening.
No, if you cook something in lard, it tastes awesome. It's one of the best cooking fats for flavor.
Flavor country.
It's a big country.
Ask your mom.
For a nickel.
Okay, so we were at the French fries, and then...
And then the communicators go off, but oh wait, no they don't.
And one of the most forced plot points of the show.
Yes.
So, okay, let's just rewind back in time to the late 90s for a moment.
Must we?
Yes. This girl has a personal planner.
Yeah.
Which is a device that you have that you can put addresses and phone numbers into. And it's amazing in the 90s.
Yeah.
But now, through the lens of time, it's more than hilariously quaint.
Yeah, don't they have, like, watches that do that stuff now?
Fancy digital watch gadgets.
When this episode aired, this was the time when cell phones didn't have texting.
Did they even have cell phones when this aired?
Yes, but they cost, like, $1.50 a minute.
Yeah.
Other than Zane?
He was a douche, though.
What I suspect what happened is Zane sold the technology used to make those personal planners.
Well, no. Actually, Zane having the cell phone morpher makes sense, because, of course, a douche would have one of the first cell phones, whether an actual phone or a morpher.
It's true.
Yeah. I mean, this makes perfect sense when you put it like that.
And still, also, since those planners made the exact same sound, where do you think they got the tech from?
Yeah, that makes sense. So anyway.
I mean, how do you think he got all the stuff that he was on, got all the nice clothes and stuff he was wearing when he was dating his best friend's sister?
Douche.
Fucking douche.
I mean, really, what's Zane's problem? Okay, so are we done with the 90s flashback now?
So, the little girl's day planner thing makes the same noise as their communicators.
Right. And then that's
over. Totally not going to be a plot point later on at all.
Of course not. But meanwhile, the Power Rangers are on TV and start shooting the reporters.
No, awesome. No, the Power Rangers are just on TV. They don't start shooting the reporters until after they're not on TV anymore.
But see, this is the first part where you realize that the Psycho Rangers are going to be the best damn thing ever.
Because they're running around dressed as the Power Rangers shooting the civilians.
But one of the questions is, how the heck did the Rangers not get contacted by Deca or Alpha about that?
Yes.
Well, Alpha probably because he's incompetent.
Alpha was never the same after Andros put that new personality chip in him.
Hey, he Alpha once fought off Ecliptor in the megaship.
Alpha's never been terribly good at anything.
Maybe the surf spot just has lousy reception.
Well, no, see what it was? Their communicators actually did go off at the same time that personality chip beeped. So they just thought that they didn't and they missed the call. They're all fixed.
No more plot hole.
So yeah, the Psycho Rangers dressed as the Rangers go shoot up the civilians.
Yeah, their first goal is to let's murder this newswoman on TV.
I can get behind that goal.
Because it's fun.
Well, TV news personalities are often annoying.
But the thing I love about this is this awesome slow motion shot of like the news crew running in fear while the Rangers just blast away at them.
Ah, good time. Oh. So then the real Rangers show up to screw everything up.
They try to screw a thing up, but they just get their asses handed to them.
Well, they screw everything up because then it's obvious that that wasn't the real Rangers shooting the civilians anymore.
Well, that wasn't really the plan to make it that way. The plan was draw them out.
Right, but the awesome part was the Rangers shooting the news crew.
Yeah.
Then the real Rangers came and ruined that.
Well, that's okay. They paid for it.
Well,
blood.
And then they just lead people away so they can start using the Sentai footage.
Right. Well, and that's another thing, too. It was at the start of this episode, right? Where there was the completely unrelated fight?
Or was that later? Where they're fighting the owl from Clash of the Titans?
Yeah. Because I guess none of the other footage they had for that would have been able to fit in with anything. Or they need to kill time, whatever.
Probably both.
They took the Cyber Squad approach to it. Fill extra time by having a unrelated fight at the beginning.
Yeah. They should have mirror flipped it, though.
No, that's when they reuse a fight.
Right. Well, a lot of times when they would do the start an episode with an unrelated fight, it was reused footage.
Yeah.
Especially in the second half of the season. But no, Psycho Rangers. Killing the shit out of them.
So finally, the Psycho Rangers reveal their true colors. And reveal that they only kick ass, but they look kick ass, too.
Yeah, they reveal their true colors, but actually it's the same colors they were a minute ago.
But with black.
Yes, and metal.
And points.
It's a brownish area with points.
And so they explain that they're the Psycho Rangers, and they're better than them.
Smarter than them.
And then they proceed to put their hands on their heads and rip out their minds. Or something damn close to it.
And then
there's
just
really nothing the Psycho Rangers do that I don't love.
Yeah, really.
If I could put a ring around them and marry them, I probably would.
But then they would just kill you.
That'd be okay. Because they'd be awesome while doing it.
Psycho Mickey.
Would that be that different?
Well, Mickey is kind of evil. Maybe he is Psycho Mickey.
So, being the douche that he is, Zane shows up and ruins the Psycho Rangers' fun.
Oh. That's okay. He'll get paid back for it in a little while. Because, hey, it's time for that plot point to kick in. Because, you know, Zane's walking around town like a douche, dressed in his douchey clothes that he got from selling his Digimorph for technology to make the PDAs that make the same beeping sound as the communicators, when somebody calls him from the megaship and makes his communicator make that beeping sound, which the Psycho Rangers are programmed to recognize. Also proving, hey, that's pretty smart.
Though they do attack a few innocent civilians before that.
They weren't innocent. They deserved it.
Yeah, they had those PDA things. Nobody innocent has those PDA things.
Plus, also, when the SAC Rangers are out there in the city looking for things, they're standing on the corners of buildings looking awesome.
Standing on rooftops makes everything better.
Yes.
So, yes, they eventually grab Zane and beat him over a little bit. And then they tie him up in a room somewhere.
Yay.
Yay. And we really would have been satisfied just to leave it there.
But no, they have to rescue Zane so they can sell more toys.
Damn.
And speaking of which, they send in that damn mega tank thing again.
As a decoy. As a,
yeah.
Kind of like its entire use in the series. We never got the full scale, the full toy of it.
Yeah, that's not really a toy tie-in when there's no toy to tie
in. We just got the little tiny Bandai of America design playset.
So while that's off being a decoy, trying to lure the Psycho Rangers away, the In Space Rangers rush off to the mansion and straight into a plate glass wall.
They're pretending to be mimes this week.
It was hilarious.
Of course, the big question is, why couldn't they just morph on the ship?
They'd hear it in space a lot clearer. There's no air to get in the way.
Well, the Psycho Rangers are probably keyed to pick up the energy of them when they're morphed or something. So they'd be able to track them faster. If they just go running around in their civilian clothes on radio silence, they can go undetected for longer.
There's not enough action for it.
Stop making sense.
So, with the Psycho Rangers apparently falling for the bait, they quickly morph and run inside.
Yes. Where they are quickly replaced by German voice actors.
Only the fun thing is, even though the Psycho Rangers fell for the bait, they were still fast enough to make it back to the base in time to stop them.
See, they are faster, stronger, and more alive.
Only evil.
The first of many of the Rangers' plans to stop the Psycho Rangers fail spectacularly.
Yes. And there's some good ones, too, after that.
And they all fail spectacularly.
Yeah.
The only one that didn't fail spectacularly was Psycho Douche. That mostly just failed because Zane's a douche.
Yeah.
But yeah, yes. he had the reverse convoy plan.
Right. Or the sideways plan.
Aha! Uh-huh. Fooled you for all of 5 seconds.
But yes, this copy of the episode we watched was from the German DVDs, where for some reason nobody's quite sure. Some of the dialogue is missing, and other parts of it have been, like, the fight noises have been dubbed over by German voice actors.
I didn't notice that, because I was watching it on Netflix.
That works, too.
Yeah, I watched it on Netflix as well, so...
Well, fine. Well,
they, like, hilarious that. German accents or something, or...
No, but it was noticeably not the original ADR. And there's a spot or two where there's obviously supposed to be dialogue, and there's not.
Hmm.
So that kind of blows.
But in morph footage, not like when you actually see mouth moving, right?
Right.
Okay.
That would be great, though.
So, after the Rangers get their ass kicked, Zane, being the douche, shows up too late to help them.
Suits have really been blasted to hell in the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
Even worse than usual.
I see a bone sticking out some of them.
It's okay. It's only a flesh wound. And so we have the first instance of the Rangers getting their asses handed to them by the Psycho Rangers. Only the first of many.
And the only reason they live is because Astronomer calls the Psycho Rangers back.
Right.
Why? Because she doesn't want them dead yet. She wants to continue draining Dark Spectre's powers.
Well, see, at least there's a good reason in story for not killing the Rangers right away.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works pretty well.
Yeah. So of these,
I love that Astronomer is playing both the villains and the heroes for her personal gain.
So of all the various plans the Rangers had to defeat the Psycho Rangers, or at least negate the advantage they had over them, what would you say is the best failure?
I would say the Blue Rangers plan.
Hmm.
Didn't he have like two of them?
No, I don't think he meant Blue Rangers plan as in Blue Ranger possessive, but as in Blue Ranger plural. The Blue Rangers plan. See? the plan where they're all the Blue Ranger?
Yes. Because it didn't work at all.
Well, it worked for like 15, 20 seconds.
Until they again had to be saved by the douchebag.
Well, yes, that's when we get Psycho Douche and the Reverse Convoy plan. Seriously, why was he a member of the team?
Toys.
They were trying to attract the gay porn market with him.
I do want I want the Japanese version of the Digimorph toy.
What's the difference?
I believe the sounds are different between them.
The sounds are, I think the sound quality may be slightly different, but more importantly,
there's no light.
Mega lights up.
Right. It's a sticker on the American one.
Hmm?
Lame.
What?
It's a sticker on the American one, right?
No, it isn't. It's paint on solid plastic.
Well, that's just as bad as a sticker.
Right.
Yeah.
But on the one, it's clear red plastic. It's like clear red plastic.
With lights.
Yeah.
So yeah, lame.
Right.
though the Astromorphers, I think, are identical.
Maybe. I know, though, I have the Japanese version of the Astromorpher. Yeah. It was somewhat expensive. Mm. So
does it make all the noises?
Yeah. The four is a little slow, though.
Like, it goes like four?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's odd.
It is odd. I never found out if it was actually like the electronics were sluggish on that, or if that's just the way they all sound.
That's what I say four in Japan.
No, I thought it was Forza.
So
come on, nobody.
So basically, the Psycho Rangers are the best thing ever.
Yes, I agree.
That's pretty much what we're coming down to, right?
But they have never had any merchandise, have they?
Yeah. What the. They're only the best thing out of any Power Rangers series ever, and we never got a single damn toy of them.
Well, maybe if they would have hung around longer, we would have gotten at least American figures for them.
They were in two consecutive seasons.
But if they were around more, maybe.
Three.
No, that second season, they were only in two episodes, but they were two really, really good episodes.
Well, it was one really, really good episode, and then the other episode in the two-parter.
Yeah. And actually, here's one thing. Of course, they never got they were never seen again in Mega Ranger after being trapped on those data cards.
Right.
That was the last time they were seen. Those data cards were never destroyed.
Right.
Maybe Basco found them.
That would be great.
Oh, that would be incredible if they showed back up. Go Kaiser.
I would say
there should be Psycho Ranger keys.
Huh.
Will a trumpet work on data cards?
Well, probably not, but they probably could be turned into Ranger keys.
They'll probably
just put the data card into a key, just cut it with scissors.
Or steal a Ghost Ranger Morpher.
Yeah, it's not like that'll be missed.
No, you steal the Deca Driver. So, more thoughts on the Psycho Rangers, or...
Though also, it would be neat to see a Psycho Ranger and Zoku Ranger team up.
What are they now?
The Evil Sentai team parody from Car Ranger.
I'm unfamiliar with that.
I don't think that was... Was it?
Since it's from Car Ranger, I'm going to go ahead and assume it's insane.
Well, it was the episode footage was adapted into the episode
Crash and the Creeps.
With Crash and the Creeps, however, that episode didn't have anything awesome like for the Zoku Rangers were just the guys that hung around in the bar. And of course the Turbo adaptation doesn't have anything like them going around and doing incredibly evil things like stepping on children's sandcastles or turning over potted plants.
But shouldn't an evil version of the Car Rangers be teaching children about how not to have traffic safety? You know, reckless driving, jaywalking, that kind of stuff.
That would make more sense.
Yeah. If the whole point of Car Ranger is fighting for traffic safety. No?
I agree.
Well, I know you agree. You have some sense. And humor. Fort Max is just dumb. And not the good kind of dumb where he can't talk. But yes, now I want to see the Psycho Ranger suits turn up in Gokaiger. And while we're having dreams, I want the Titanium Ranger in Gokaiger also.
Though, would it have Bosco as Psycho Douche?
Isn't he?
And then Sally would be Psycho Monkey. Bosco's not so much of a douche, but I could see the Psycho Silver thing working.
Yeah, Bosco's just more of just a dick.
Yeah. And Psycho Dick doesn't have the same ring to it.
Just Psycho, doesn't narrow it down enough.
Psycho Douche kind of sounds like it could be a real Sentai character name.
I'd love to see the Mobi rates try to pronounce that.
Psycho Douche.
Psycho Douche.
No, it would be douchey.
In douche.
Well, I think we will wrap up the Psycho Ranger conversation on that note.
I do shine my shoes.
So next week on Superhero Time, there won't be. We're taking the 4th of July off, but we'll be back on the 11th.
We're going to celebrate 12. America.
Well, I'm going to go do something better than sit here and record the show.
That's debatable.
I'm going to eat sushi, so it's still going to be better than sitting here doing the show.
Well,
oh, okay.
It's
well, that part
still debatable.
But is there anything that wouldn't be better than sitting here and doing the show?
Watching Revenge of the Fallen.
Or Ghost Ager.
Still depends on the episode topic.
Huh?
Yeah, nothing.
Well, if you're insistent on doing a show next week, it can be Ghost Ager and Revenge of the Fallen.
You guys have fun recording that.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Superhero Time will return on July 12th. In the meantime, enjoy your week off. Because you should. And let's see, what do we have coming up on that episode? Perhaps I should have thought to load the list before I mentioned it. But no, planning is beneath me.
Your mom is beneath me.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
On top of her.
Okay, good. On the next episode of Superhero Time, we will be watching Jetman.
Yay.
Yay. And that's grown-ups in spandex subbing that, right?
Yeah,
I believe so, yes.
Okay, so slightly less yay, but still Jetman. That'll be fun.
Have we decided which episode yet?
Probably should start with episode 1, don't you think?
Yeah.
Assuming something actually happens in episode 1. It's not like a hero, is it?
You don't really, let's see, episode 1, I think, only has at most 3 of the team together.
So what does episode 2 have?
They have all 5 in the second episode, I think.
Well, we could always watch 2 episodes. It'll be just
I don't
like armor.
Think they get the full team until 3 episodes in for Jetman.
Okay.
You're killing me here.
So should we just skip to episode 4 of that series?
In any case, on the 12th, we will have an episode of Jetman to be determined. So, is there anything else this week?
No, I think we hit all the bases this time.
Maybe we should have watched another episode of Battle Fever this week just for fun. No? Okay. All right, well, I guess that's our show this week. Thanks for listening. We won't be back next week, and stop cheering.
Too late.
This has been Superhero Time with your hosts, XV, Hey Mickey, Paladin, and Fort Max. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
Hey.
Now, are you ever going to have get those other episodes of Night Flight Dynaman encoded?
Yeah, I'm sitting right here. Somewhere. Here it is. I'm looking at the disc right now. According to the label on the disc, all I have is the our version of the pilot, Dynacon, which I already did at the Lucky Pierre episode. So it's not but like half of it.
Okay.
But yes, at some point I will encode and upload those.
Yeah. So Dave didn't have all of the episodes?
Well, what I have is what he sent me.
Okay.
That might have been all he had done at that point. Because I know he acquired VHS copies from somebody else and was converting them as he could. Converting from VHS to DVD is kind of a boring, time-consuming process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really need to invent a better way to do it.
Like a digital way to do it.
Like, I want this black box on my desk where I open the lid, put a VHS down into it, close it, and it spits a disc out at me.
Like, instantly?
Yes. I don't really care what any of the intermediate steps are in the process. I don't even want to know. I just want to be able to drop a tape down into a box and have it give me a disc.
It's probably just easier if you just take it down to, like, a video place like, and have them do it for you.
Well, yeah, the only difference then is that I'm just not doing the work.
And you have to give up one of your nickels.
Probably more than that. How much does it cost to get something converted by, you know, a place?
Depends on the length, I believe.
Because I've got, like, hundreds of videotapes sitting here with probably some stuff on them that I'd like to have on not VHS.
I imagine a lot of it also kind of depends on how loose your person is playing with copyrights.
Well, that too. Like, I got episodes of Dinosaurs on tape, which, I mean, I don't know how else you would get a hold of those anymore.
You should just destroy them out of courtesy.
But it's a Dino Jam. No, it's a Dino Jam. It's good. Well, maybe good.
You can probably
find
episodes on the internet.
Probably not.
I know they have lots of things on the internet now.
Probably not in any better quality than what I have.
On the other hand, if you convert the
quality.
What?
On the other hand, if you convert the dinosaurs, you could force us to watch it.
I don't really think that would fit in with the theme of the show.
Force RFC to watch it.
That would be amusing, but probably wouldn't work. Now, there is something earlier I was thinking about making you watch, but I don't remember what.
So that's all of our RFCs are like 15 seconds long.
Yeah, they're short things, usually. It's not like it used to be. Where we would watch, like, whole episodes of the RTM1 dubs, or cool stuff like that. Or where somebody had fan-dubbed the Robot Masters DVDs. Oh, and Zone.
Spiral Zone?
No, Transformers Zone.
Oh.
With Predaking's brain.
Spiral Zone was awesome.